babe in Christ, and that learning all that. But I remember that there came a day after the conversion experience, after coming to salvation in Christ. And I don't know where you're at in your life with that you make it. You say, well, doesn't that day come as salvation? Well, it should. But as a new convert in Christ, there's a lot of things that goes through your mind, and you're in a growth cycle. But I remember the day when you say, you know what? If you're not careful, you can be saved and then totally frustrate yourself because you're not walking with the Lord the way you should be. And I remember the day that come, and I had to part way with some good friends. I thought they were good friends. And the day that I said, you know what? Just me, myself, and I, and my God. I'm going to walk with Him no matter what that means or where that goes or the path that leads me down or the friends that leads me to or away from. And when I made that decision, there was a few friends that chose not to, you know, they kind of went their direction. I went mine, and I got a whole new other group of friends that went along with that. And so you choose to live for God, make a choice for Him, and God will honor that. And some great people will cross your path, and it's a wise thing to do that even if you walk it alone, choose to walk with the Lord day in and day out, and you'll not regret that. And the sweetest of fellowship, as He's the most important thing in our lives. In Matthew chapter 26, I think the last time we looked at the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day, we were in the book of Mark. I tried to give you a little bit different version of what was taking place in the Lord's Supper. And you know, I would just caution the church or God's people that be careful that when we look at the ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, that we just don't allow ourselves to routinely get into the habit of, you know what I'm saying? You come, you go to church, and you do the same thing, and the Lord, you got to keep the Lord's Supper real and fresh and has meaning in it, and it's a special time. And I'm just saying, if you're not careful, you could get in a routine of, it's just another Lord's Supper. But every Lord's Supper is a special Lord's Supper because it brings us back to the memory of what He wanted us to remember, and to remember the cross of Calvary, Jesus dying on the cross for our sin, and the message behind that, and the communion that goes along with that and fellowship with Him. So I always kind of like to take some of the Scripture here and read it a little bit as we lead into it. And we'll take a look again at Matthew 26 here tonight. And as Jesus nears this time of His death, and as He comes and kind of what takes place in His life and as it begins to unfold, it says in Matthew 26 and verse 1, that came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that He said unto His disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. And then assembled together the chief priests and scribes and the elders of the people under the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill Him. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. And then Jesus now goes to Bethany here, and He says, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on His head as He sat at meat. But when His disciples saw it, they had indignation. Interesting word in the Bible, indignation. It's like they were upset, they were mad, or can believe that He was doing this. They had this indignation saying, to what purpose is this waste? I just find that interesting sometimes. The things that we think are important are not, and sometimes the things that you look at it here, and here the disciples look at this, and they think this is an absolute waste, but look what Jesus says. To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold so much, given to the poor. Almost kind of makes you think, and then after verse 9, kind of where was their heart at? Where was their life? And they're thinking here, evidently, we just studied in Sunday school this morning, think on the things which are above, not on the things here on earth. And evidently, they are here in Colossians 3, you know, they're thinking about things here on earth. If you take and sell this, you're going to get money for it. And given to the poor in verse 10, and when Jesus understood it, He said unto them, He said, why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me, and for ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. It's kind of like then we transition right into Judas Iscariot here in verse 14. And then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests, unto the chief priests. said unto them, What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. And now the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. I find interesting there, verse 18 and 19, that several things going on there, but one is, my time is at hand. Jesus knew what was coming. He was prepared to go to Calvary. He was prepared to give his life a sacrifice. He was prepared. He knew the end was coming as far as the earth goes and his life here. You know, we were talking the other day with some folks with the funeral, and the question come up, I wonder, as people near death or near that time, do they know that the time is near? Well, Jesus did right here. He knew that and was prepared for that. And verse 20, and now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. I want you to think about that here, because these disciples now had walked with him and followed him and everywhere he went and in the ministry, saw him do the miracles. And now Jesus pierces into their hearts and says, one of you is going to betray me. And they became exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say, Lord, is it I? Interesting. Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. And the Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? It's almost kind of like you can see, you know, if you're sitting in that room as they're going around the table and they don't know who it is, and Jesus knows who it is, and gets to that, Master, is it I? And goes to the next guy, Master, is it I? And goes to the next guy, and Master, is it I? And now it gets to Judas. And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And then in verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus then took bread, blessed it, and brake, and gave it, and gave to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. And for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, then they went out into the Mount of Olives. So this lays the groundwork, the framework of the Lord's Supper as he gathered them together and brought them together. Now this was to the disciples, and he laid down the ordinance of the local church. Let me just share with you just a few thoughts that you need, and many of you already know this, but the Lord's Supper, the people that were with him there at that time, they were saved and followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. They were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were to do this in remembrance of the Savior, of the sacrifice that he made for them. So this is not for the non-believer. If you're here tonight and you're not a believer, we'd encourage you to open your heart and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and be converted to Christ. But the Lord's Supper was designed for and prepared for the believers and those in faith. And so tonight it's reserved for those. And tonight. Now in the church, if you're a member of the church, and even if you're here tonight and you're not a member of the church, but you are saved and scripturally baptized, we invite you to partake in the Lord's Supper with this. And, you know, one of these days the church will be raptured out and we'll get to heaven and we'll all gather around the throne with him and have fellowship with him and see his glory and that. So it's a time here in the church that we can partake together as the body of Christ. It's also important to understand, if you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it's also important, I don't know if there's any young children tonight or any little ones here tonight, but it's really reserved for those that really understand what's going on and they understand what the Lord's Supper is all about and that they can open their. I remember when our children got to that point, we used to sit in church and when the kids were little, they had wanted to take the Lord's Supper. We said, no, not until you're ready, until you understand what's going on, what the meaning of it is, what salvation is, and then after they follow the Lord in baptism. And I never remember the day when our three children had the opportunity to begin to take the Lord's Supper. It was a special time for us and our family as they partook in that. But when you get to 1 Corinthians 11, Paul explaining to the Corinthian church really talks about the Lord's Supper, the order and the meaning of it, and just gives a little bit more explanation. But the explanation Paul gives to the Corinthian church, you got to understand the Corinthian church. There was a lot of issues going on. There was a lot of sin. There was a lot of problems. There was a lot of corruptness going on in that part of the world. And so he really brought in this thing of examination, examining your heart and making sure, number one, you're in the faith, and number two, that you don't take the Lord's Supper unworthily. So let's look at it in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So there's the reason why we take the Lord's Supper right there in verse 24. We do it to remember. And at our church, we do it about every 6 to 8 weeks. Throughout the course of the year. Some churches I've been in and been a member of, they do it once a year. Some do it twice a year. Some do it once a month. I know there's probably some churches out there that do it every week. I don't know. But we do it about every 6 to 8 weeks. It seems to be a good time frame to allow us to remember what it's all about and why we're doing what we do. So this done in remembrance of me, of the Lord Jesus. In verse 25, and after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament, and my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Again, the purpose of the Lord's Supper is in remembrance of me. And for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So you got to be, as we said, in Christ. You got to be born again, saved by the blood of Christ, and should have followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And so we should, and then also too, he gives us verse 28, examining ourselves, and so let him eat of that bread and drink that cup. And say, well, what's the examination part for? It's really simply be, you know, this is a sacred time. It's a holy time. It's a time in remembrance. And you're approaching the Son of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he made. And if we sit there and if we harbor things in our heart that's not right, or a sin in our life that we know that's not there, you know, sometimes it's easy to get a hold of a sin or something and we don't want to let go of it. You know, it's kind of like you want your cake and eat it too, and that. And so it's a good time to examine ourselves. Just make sure our hearts are right before the Lord, that we don't have anything that's not confessed before him, and that we approach his throne with a pure heart and a pure mind. And verse 29, he says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So there's a real purpose and a reason. Yes, we do it in remembrance of the Lord. And there's also, I think, an accountability to do it unjustly so, or the Bible says unworthily so. Why don't we just take a moment right now and we'll just kind of pause for silent prayer, give you and I an opportunity to just sit where you're at, give you some time to pray just between you and the Lord. And again, I encourage you, invite you, that if you're not saved, I would beg of you and ask you to open your heart and trust Christ and believe in him for your salvation and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And this is a good time to do that if you've not yet done that. But if you're here tonight, maybe there's something in your heart you just want to talk to the Lord about, you can do that right now before we take the Lord's Supper. So let's pray. Before your throne tonight, we come with thanksgiving, rejoicing in having the privilege of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And God, I remember the day that I clearly heard the message of the power of the gospel. And if we just open our heart, confess and repent of our sin, and turn our lives toward Christ, that he would forgive us and cleanse us and make us a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then, God, we begin down that pathway of trying to live our lives to bring honor and glory to you day in and day out. And sometimes we trip and fall, and sometimes we do things that I'm sure is not honoring to you. Sometimes we don't have a pure mind and a pure heart. And, God, we just humbly come before your throne today confessing that and asking forgiveness and to cleanse our hearts and cleanse our minds and help us to remember the tremendous sacrifice that Jesus gave on the cross of Calvary, that we would remember the price that has been paid, the blood that has been shed. And, oh God, today we realize there's power in that blood, the ability to save a lost man from his sin. And so, God, we thank you for your love for us and your love for the world. And we know John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And God, we thank you for that love today. So again, we confess our sin before you and ask today that you would bless now as we partake in the Lord's Supper together. May we humbly approach your throne, bow our hearts and minds toward you, and just in thankfulness for all that you've done for us. And we'll be sure to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to ask the deacons to prepare themselves, and we'll want to get ready. I'm going to slip down here at the front. You can turn your Bible to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to read a few verses here in just a moment from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and that. So, ushers, gentlemen, if you're ready, we're ready. Come on. If you found your place there in the Bible, there's a few verses that we want to read before we pass out the elements. And Luke chapter 22 and verse 14, it says, "When the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, What desire have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer? For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of that vine until the kingdom of God shall come." When you think about these verses right in here, I'd encourage all of us, you know, once in a while, if you're getting a bad day or you're thinking you're having a hard time or you think you're suffering and you're going through something, just kind of make a mental note to go back to Luke 22. Right here, and think about this on what Jesus said here, before I suffer, I have desire to eat this Passover. And so it's a sacrifice. It's unbelievable what he went through and the price that he paid for you and I to have eternal life. And we thank God that he did. At this time, we're going to pass out the bread and the wafers, and we'd ask that you just hold them. We'll all partake together after we have prayer as a church body. While you have your place there in the Bible, we want to look at these verses right in verse 19, which just simply says, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." I'm going to ask Brother Paul Thorson if you would to lead us in prayer at this time.
Lord, we thank you for bringing us here today to recognize that great gift you gave us, giving us Jesus Christ's body for our sins. Amen.
And they did break and all eat. Again, we ask you to take the juice and hang on to that, and we will all partake together. Again, if you have your place there in the Scripture, we'd like to read the next verse in verse 20. It says, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Against Brother Bob Wilcox, if you would, to lead us in prayer, please, sir. And they did all partake together. You can place that in the pew in front of you or pass it to the end of the aisle. And as we know, it's customary in our church, we do what's called a benevolence offering at the end of our Lord's Supper in our service. It's just an opportunity for we as a church family to set aside a little bit of money that from time to time somebody has a need in our church. And we always try to help those in our church family who are going through a tough time. And by the able to have the benevolence offerings, a way to be able to do that. And you'll never know, and I know that's oftentimes kept and confidence. That somebody will say to me, be sure to thank the congregation. Be sure to just say thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's an amazing thing when you show up on somebody's doorstep and they're struggling big time, and you're able to give them a benevolence check or offering or cash or whatever from the church family, and they just want to pass on a tremendous word of thanks. And again, we do that in confidence, but we try to help those in our church family first that has a real need. And by the way, if you're ever aware of anybody, if you would, please see myself or Pastor Bobby and let us know, and we'll do what we can as a church family to be able to help out folks that are in real need. So we're going to ask at this time, Brother Ron, it says that they sang a song as they left out of the Mount of Olives, so we're going to sing a song here. We'll ask ushers to prepare for the benevolence offering, and then we'll take the offering before we dismiss tonight. Brother Ron. Heavenly Father God, we love you today. We sure thank you for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, just singing that song and watching the video that's playing behind the words on the screen is realizing the horrible suffering that our Savior went through. And we understand that crucifixion is one of the most painful, if not the most painful, suffering ways to die that has ever been expressed in humanity. And God, we thank you for Jesus' willingness to go all the way to the cross, to be faithful even unto death. But thank you for the power of the resurrection, that he victoriously came forth from that grave. And what, Father, we thank you for the picture that you give to us in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. So God, today as we give now, we pray that we would, for those in our church that are suffering or have a difficult time or a struggle along the way, and sometimes life just gets a little tough. And God, this is one way that we can give back and reach out in Christian love and let them know that we're behind them, we're praying for them. And God, that they in turn someday can reach out and help somebody else and help them along through a struggle. So God, thank you for the faithfulness of God's people and their giving. And thank you we can do this out of a heart of love today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All God's people said, amen. Have a great week, travel safe, and enjoy the week.